This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Welcome to On the Beat, where we bring you a different Buffalo Bills beat reporter every week. Exclusively on the Overreaction Sports Network.
Well, what is going on, everybody? Welcome. Welcome, everybody, into On the Beat on the Overreaction Buffalo Sports Network. Brought to you exclusively on said network, powered by Believe, who we signed with just a couple weeks ago, if you had not heard yet. Super, super excited to be connected to Believe as well. But this is a fun show. We got a special show for you guys tonight, a show where we generally bring you a different Buffalo Bills beat reporter every week or sports journalist. This week, we are going to be joined at the beginning of a three-week series. We're going to be joined by a different beat reporter from each of our AFC East rivals. This week is actually going to be the New York Jets. I'll get to that in a second. Before I do, my name is Joe Miller. You can find me on Twitter at Joe Miller Wired alongside my co-host, the Fina man, John Fina, former Buffalo Bill offensive tackle, John Fina from the 90s Super Bowl teams. You know him, you love him, but please do us a favor. Please like, please subscribe. Whatever platform you are consuming this podcast on, please do just that. Help us get the word out, help get our numbers up, all that good stuff. But as I teased you a moment ago, now joining us, New York Jets beat reporter all the way down. You're not really downstate, you're in a different state, but sort of downstate in New Jersey from the New York Daily News covering the New York Jets, Antoine Staley. Antoine, it's great to have you. And how are you doing this fine day?
I'm all right. How are you guys doing?
Hanging in there. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. Antoine, thanks for joining us. We can't wait to hear your takes on the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Joe, you're looking good. Antoine, you're looking good. Let's dive in.
Yeah, let's get going. And before we do, real quick, thanks to everybody that's joining us in the comments section. As always, if you are on Facebook or Twitter live with us, jump over to YouTube. It's just a much better community over there from a comment section. But as John said, Antoine, we're not going to waste any time. We're not going to waste any of your time. We're going to keep you for about 30 minutes. We appreciate your time and giving it to us, Bills Mafia. There's probably a little bit of gritting in your teeth going on, but that's all right. But we're going to talk.
I'm not a Jets fan, but first of all, I'm not a Jets fan. I used to cover the Dolphins too. So, by the way,
I did not know. Who are you a fan of?
Nobody now. I mean, I've been the reporter for so long. I mean,
ruins it. It ruins it, right?
Yeah, just. I didn't grow up a team or eat any team in the AFC East, put it that way.
He's a fan of stories, right? You got to go after those stories, dig them up, and lay them out.
I am a fan of the stories right about now.
That is awesome. That's actually pretty cool that you covered the Dolphins. Now you're covering the Jets. You're kind of making your rounds. So real quick, just because I'm thinking about the situation. So you've lived in the kind of the two major meccas in the East as far as it goes, Miami and New York City, that area. What do you like better?
Boston too, but I didn't cover the Patriots though. That was kind of my first job coming out of college. But to answer your question, yes, definitely down south. Come from North Carolina originally. So
North Carolina. Very good. Yes, you like it warm. I get that. I like it kind of warm too. I prefer it that way. So, but let's go ahead and jump in. I apologize for not knowing that ahead of time. I probably should have done a little more research.
Good, man.
So the news, there's the obvious news that's surrounding the New York Jets, and then there's the kind of the current important news that's surrounding the New York Jets. We're gonna get to both. First, the more current news, which is the Hassan Reddick situation. So, what is the most updated report on what's going on with Hassan. Is just so the listeners know, the Jets just made a trade for Hassan Reddick from the Eagles, dominant defensive lineman, and he has yet to report to anything because he wants a brand new contract. And yes, so where are we at with that situation first?
Well, we don't know if he's going to show up for training camp. I assume he will at some point, but you know, didn't show up for OTAs, didn't show up for mandatory minicamp, didn't really have communication with anybody outside of Robert Saleh after the trade was made. Once the trade was made, he had communication. But from what I understand, they didn't communicate with him at all until like the final week of mandatory minicamp. They reached out, I think Saleh did, and him and Reddick spoke. But outside of that, I think it's, you know, worry that he may not report. And you know, simple fact that one, you lost your pass rusher who and Bryce Huff, who ended up having 10 sacks a year ago. Now he's with the Eagles. Essentially you exchanged him with Hassan Reddick, who, you know, a guy that's, you know, put up double digit sacks for four consecutive years and been very productive. But you know, he wants to be paid. I mean, he's almost 30 years old. He understands like this business, and you know, once you've hit 30, it's a certain you know, stigma around players, fairly or unfairly. So I definitely think, you know, that's kind of why he held out and, you know, he had an unexcused absence there. And, you know, we'll see if he shows up to camp. But, you know, it's definitely still some worry in the building if he shows up or not. But I believe he will, especially nowadays where, you know, the fines are so heavy that, you know, it benefits him to just show up and just play this upcoming season.
Yeah. Well, Antoine, you know, digging into that a little bit, he's 30 years old, right? If they don't come to terms, he doesn't show up, he's a year older next year, he's got a year of rest. Well, what do you consider his leverage to be?
At this point, not a lot. I mean, I think, you know, basically, I just think that, you know, he's in the final year of his deal. You know, if he plays well, has another double-digit sack season, I think it benefits him to just go out and be a free agent, and then he could possibly get paid by somebody else, whether it be the Jets or not. I think the Jets want to be cautious, and they don't necessarily want to pay him, well, not yet anyway, because a lot of things are on the line this year. I mean, we're talking about, you know, jobs at stake. You know, I think Aaron said this when he talked about, you know, the Jets and OTAs, actually. He said, it's a lot of pressure on him. It's a lot of pressure on the organization. And if they don't make the playoffs, then I'm probably not going to be here. And a lot of other people are probably not going to be here. So I think that's a little bit of the hesitation where they don't necessarily want to give in to a big contract. And they also have to pay other people too. I mean, Michael Carter II is also up for a big contract coming up after the 2024 season. DJ Reed will be a free agent. And then also you have to start paying Sauce Gardner potentially, Wilson, Johnson, Breece Hall. They have a problem that's coming up. So it's going to be interesting to see how they attack, you know, the money and everything with all those players.
So it's interesting that you say that the way that you did with him being older, which obviously I knew. Did they bring him in with that 1 year deal? Almost in hockey, the term is a rental player.
Normally,
gotcha. So they were like, look, we're just going to use you up for your last year of your deal, let you walk. And he's like, well, I've got other plans. Like,
they could re-sign him, but I don't think they went into it knowing that this is the last year of his deal, and then they'll just play it out and see what happens.
And what's that number, Antoine? What's he looking at?
I mean, I assume it's probably more the guaranteed money. I'm sure he's looking probably over $50 million guaranteed.
I mean, what's he coming at? What's his rate right now? All right. They traded for him.
He has no guaranteed money whatsoever, but his base salary is about $14-15 million.
It seems low. So that, right.
It seems low, but the situation dictates where you are now. You can't really pretend that you're just unrestricted free agent, right? And at your age 26 or 27. So I agree with you, Antoine. I don't see a lot of leverage on his part, but you come out, you play for that 14, you flash, you got a great defense up front. I mean, everything about it is poised for him to have a two digit or double digit sack season. And then you have leverage, right?
And it's not like he hasn't played in that situation before. I mean, he'd been in Arizona, been with the Panthers, the Eagles. Like, he's been in those situations where he's looking to get paid. He's in the last year of his deal and had a really good year. So he's been – he understands the game. But, again, I think it's just the fact that he's getting older and he understands that this is probably going to be his last year. I mean, last time really getting that major contract. So he's trying to milk it and trying to get that money as quickly as possible, which I understand it from a player's perspective.
Yeah, we understand it as well because we kind of went through it with Jordan Poyer, right? So Jordan Poyer kind of had a similar situation. And then obviously the Bills let him go after this year. What were you going to say, John?
Well, I just think that, you know, it might have been a little bit similar, but I think the Jets defense is just riddled with talent, right? So that hurts his leverage even more. So
I think they need him. I think they really need him on the defensive line, considering the fact that John Franklin Myers is no longer on the team. Bryce Huff, who led the team in sacks at 10, also no longer on the team. I mean, they still got Quentin Williams, who's all world, you need and Jermaine Johnson had a really good year, but you need a consistent, another pass rusher that can help those guys out so they don't get double teamed a lot. And John, anytime you have a bit time, you know, player like Quentin Williams, he's going to be double teamed a lot. So, you know, having those other guys there also going to help not only Quentin, but also the rest of the defense as well.
Yeah, it's been reported from a roster standpoint. It's been reported that the Jets don't want to offer him a contract, which is pretty much what you just said. With him being the dominant player that he is, that defense, as we've already kind of established, everybody knows, is good. But is there, from a roster standpoint, a backup plan if he doesn't come in? I mean, what do you foresee? You just said they're going to be hurting without him. What do you think the shuffle move is?
If he doesn't show up, then I think they're in a world of trouble. Although, like, I will say this, they did draft Will McDonald a year ago in 2023, and they hope he can elevate his game. He really didn't do a whole lot, really didn't hit the field a lot because the Jets had depth at defensive end last year. But they hope that he can have a similar type year that Jermaine Johnson did, who had a similar rookie type year as Will McDonald, but, you know, flashed and, you know, was a Pro Bowl alternate last year.
It's good.
Well, I got to tell you, it's a challenge. From an ownership perspective, I get it. I think from the eyes of the defensive coordinator, you got a good look at defense. You think they're hurting. I think, you know, philosophically they can make some changes too. So yeah. I think this will be a fun standoff to watch. That's for sure.
Yeah, I think so too, but it'll be interesting to see if he shows up in 3 weeks or not. I think he will, but we don't necessarily know right now at the moment.
Yeah. All three of the teams in the AFC East are struggling at the edge. It seems like the Dolphins, the Bills, and the Jets are all having a little bit of trouble out there.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Into the other side of the football, you know, outside of Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall, you know, the Jets are a little bit thin at the skill positions. Do you think that there's a late move coming? Is there somebody that they can go out there and pluck off the street that might be able to come in and help? Or is this going to be more of an Aaron we trust? Kind of like what the Packers did late in his career there, what they did with Tom Brady late. Like, we're going to expect you to kind of raise the level of the guys around you. What do you foresee happening on the offense?
Well, they did sign Mike Williams, who is coming off an ACL injury, but
often injured Mike Williams.
Correct. You're taking my thunder from me, but Mike Williams. Yeah, I mean, he's flash when he plays. He's really good, but it's a question that when he plays, like, he's often been injured, as you alluded to, and you know he's not going to be ready for training camp. But the hope is for them that he'll be ready for week one, but we don't necessarily know that. So I imagine he'll start training camp on a PUP list, and then they'll just kind of ease him in throughout training camp. So they hope he can step up. Malachi Corley, who they drafted in the third round out of Western Kentucky. You know, they called him the Yak King for a reason. I mean, it's a guy that's not very fast, but somehow, some way, he just finds ways to, you know, get big time yards out the catch. So they hope that, you know, along with Garrett and those two guys, and they hope that with Aaron coming back, when Alec Lazar can have a better year. I mean, it's kind of hard to have a worse year than what he did last year, where, you know, he had like 22 catches for 311 yards and one touchdown. And, you know, he was definitely not, he was hurt the most probably by Aaron's injury last year, because he really didn't have chemistry with Zach Wilson or, you know, Tim Boyle or Trevor Siemian and the rest of the guys. And they're hoping he can have a bit of a bounce back here. He needs to, because, I mean, they're paying him $10 million guaranteed, and this is the last year of all that guaranteed money. So if he doesn't have a good year, then they're probably going to release him after the season.
Yeah.
All right. Let's transition to the quarterback spot, right? Antoine, mandatory minicamp, Aaron Rodgers, no show. I listened to what Robert Saleh had to say about it. He does a great job in his pressers. But I just feel like, I don't know, it's lacking a little bit. I know as a player, mandatory minicamp meant mandatory.
Yes.
And, you know, aside from a death in the family or, extenuating circumstances like that, where could the guy be that was so much more important?
Vacation. That's basically what it was. He had a pre-planned vacation, and it felt like it was important to him. And they didn't excuse the absence, but, you know, it'd be interesting to see if they find him or not. I hadn't got a definite answer on that, but, you know, he is subject to fine since he was not there. But yeah, he had a pre-planned vacation before mandatory minicamp. I know a lot of people blew it up and made it a big deal. I had a problem with probably how Saleh had addressed it with the with not only the media, but also the players. Cause Tyrod Taylor, who was the backup quarterback, as you know, he didn't find out until the morning of start practicing. So I'm like, why? And if you knew that in advance, why not tell your players that, okay, hey, let's just get out in front of it and say, Aaron's not going to be here next week. Just be prepared for questioning. Just be prepared for everything and just be ready. And then Tyrod, you'd be ready to run the first team. That makes more sense to me. I just think the way that he handled it, you know, not only media wise, but also kind of with the players, that was my biggest thing. Not necessarily Aaron not being there, because, you know, Aaron had been there. He was at OTAs. He was all throughout the spring program. Like, he was there. So I don't think it's him missing 2 days essentially is that big of a deal. But I think it becomes a big deal with you have the press conference and the way that Robert Saleh handled it. And I think that was just kind of mismanaged on his part.
I have so many thoughts swirling around my head from I don't make $40 million a year. And just this year, I had a work situation where I had a vacation planned and they planned our sales kickoff in Europe and I had to move my vacation. And I did.
That's what I'm saying. That's like, what I'm saying.
Like you couldn't move it.
You're Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, you do. I guess you do. You know, whatever you want to do. But
there's so many other weeks in the summer to go to the beach.
I disagree with you at all.
Part two to your point. Like, not even like, hey, by the way, next week, yada yada. Why Aaron was there? Like, Aaron, why don't you come up here real quick and let everybody know you're not going to be here and let you know address the team. And then you give them the instruction, you know, there's probably going to be some, and then to break it back down to like that whole Robert Saleh media press conference thing. It's like, don't say it. Don't like Aaron's not here. It's excused or what? Like, just say it was something other than it's not excused.
Like, he's just not here. I don't think it's a big deal. Like, that's all he had to say.
Do something other than it's unexcused. And he apparently felt like some other place was more important than here. Yes, we knew about it. We knew about it ahead of time. It's like, you're saying all the wrong things right now, bro. Stop. Just stop.
Hey, Antoine, I want to stay in the quarterback situation, all right? So I am not convinced that after that injury, Aaron Rodgers is going to be the guy. I mean, you know, I don't – wish any ill on him. I don't certainly wish any great success for the Jets either. We'll say Tyrod comes in, right? Yeah. Jordan Travis, what's the status? Where is he on his recovery from his injury? And does he even factor in, or does it go from Tyrod to Peasley?
It's definitely Jordan Travis. Now, Travis has not been officially cleared, but the thought is he will be cleared by training camp. So he should probably get the 13 snaps in training camp. And if something, God forbid, would have happened to Aaron and Tyrod Taylor, I think it's good to have a guy like Jordan Travis on the roster because, let's face it, I mean, Aaron's older. I mean, he's coming off a major injury. Tyrod's
no young buck either.
I was going to say that too. And also he has injury concerns too. Like you talk about a guy that's, you know, had a lot of freak injuries. It's not his fault, but it's just for whatever reason, like he's just had an inability to stay healthy.
Punctured lung from a shot.
That's what I'm saying.
The team's medical staff. It's like, what?
So they're going to have three. That's what, when they saw Tyrod, I was like, they're going to have three quarterbacks on the roster. Like,
go ahead, Jack.
Oh, okay. So, we spent a little time in the defensive end position, not too terribly concerned about the defense, kind of went through the skill positions on offense. What's your biggest position group of concern for the Jets? Is it the QB position, or are you going to surprise me?
I think it's the depth on the offensive line. Now, I think they've improved on the offensive line, the first five. I mean, you get Tyron Smith, who's one of the best left tackles of all time. I mean, I know he's 34 years old, but still playing at a good level. I think I'm a little worried about, you know, they did sign draft Olofashinu from Penn State. So they have a, you know, contingency plan. So just in case Tyron Smith does not play all 17 games, which he has not done since 2015, by the way. So I thought that was good foresight by the Jets in doing that. Having said that, like this is an organization that's been through the ringer on the offensive line. In 2022, they had 11 different players start games on the offensive line. Well, I thought that was bad. Last year was even worse. They had 14 different offensive line combinations in 17 games, which led the league. So
that's not a category you want to lead the league in, I'm pretty sure.
And meanwhile, a team like the Bills, they had their offensive line started every game, which is rare. It's just insane.
Yeah.
And so you say that, Antoine, and then there was something on Twitter today ranking the offensive lines across the NFL, and the Jets are in the top five.
No, I don't agree with that at all. Like I think they're improved. I don't know if they're top five.
They have a lot of youth. I mean, outside of the left tackle Tyron Smith, right tackle Morgan Moses being kind of the elder statesman, that's a young group of players. Do you think that bodes well or too little experience? And that's your concern.
And also, with that and injuries too, because Morgan Moses is coming off a pec injury that he suffered with the Ravens last year. Right. He didn't play through it, but, you know, he hasn't necessarily been cleared yet. And then you factor that in, of course, Smith's injury history. John Simpson has been, you know, he's had a solid career up and down too as well. Joe Tippin is still young, as you alluded to. And also Elijah Vera Tucker. Elijah Vera Tucker is very good when he plays, but he tore his Achilles last year. Had a bicep injury the year before that, both season-ending injuries midway to the season. So, and then the depth behind it is not, you know, really good, which, you know, a lot of teams are like that. But I think that's the concern for me. Like, if injuries start to happen, then what happens to Aaron Rodgers, especially considering he's almost 41 years old, and you got to be able to keep him upright, too, if you're going to have any chance do anything in the AFC East.
There's your answer, Joe, as to why Hassan Reddick is trying to hold out for more money, because any moment you're on the slab and you're working your way back into the starting lineup. It's pretty rough. So quarterback or offensive line, quarterback number two or wide receiver or running back?
Probably wide receiver. I'm not worried about Breece Hall at all. I think Breece is going to have a tremendous year, provided obviously health is always a factor. But, you know, I thought last year when Nathaniel Hackett started to utilize him a little bit more in the passing game along with the running game, he was tremendous. I mean, the first Bills game there, the first Bills game, that was his first game coming back from the ACL injury. He had over 100 yards. He had 122 yards on 10 carries.
Yeah.
So I thought he was, like, tremendous. And then he played even better after that, especially towards the end of the year. I think if, you know, I'm not a big fantasy guy, but I figure you know, as far as like fantasy, like he's going to be up there with Christian McCaffrey, like as far as yardage and also catches too. So, and I think they're going to find a way to utilize him a lot, especially considering Aaron's age, and they don't necessarily want to put a lot on his plate. So they're going to have, they're going to use Breece Hall a lot. So yeah, I'm not worried about him at all. It'd probably be wide receiver for me. Outside of Garrett, you know, it's definitely a lot of questions there. And rookie wide receivers, can you really rely on them year one? I don't know if you can. So no, that's going to be a big
I think in the NFL, aside from offensive line, I think receiver is one of the, obviously in quarterback, it's one of the steepest curves to get ready to get out there because there's so much to it. The defensive backs are so much better. I mean, they recover. They can play from a bad position and make a great play. And, you know, as a wide receiver, learning how to expose all of that is a lot. So much of it is the mental game.
So and also the route tree too. Like the route tree is different, like in college than NFL. Like a lot of spread offenses in college too. So you're doing a lot of simplistic stuff as compared to NFL. It's a lot of complicated stuff. Like and then you got to find ways to, you know, get open. Like I guess and then the windows are so much tighter. Like you got to be able to be on it. So it's a lot different than a college game, especially a guy like Malachi Corley who came from Western Kentucky, which is the Conference USA. So we're talking about a big leap in competition.
Right. Yeah. You know what they say, right? You know, that guy in college that was covered is open in the NFL. Get it to him.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. So we are. At least I am. I say we here at Overreaction are somewhat believers that with a healthy Aaron Rodgers, the Jets on paper have the best roster in the AFC East as far as maybe one of the more complete rosters in the AFC East. But what I'm curious to know is you've been there for a little bit now. Like, what is the confidence level around this team? And did it take a little bit of a hit with Aaron being like, yo, peace, mandatory minicamp. I'm not going to be here. But what's the confidence level around this team right now?
They still believe they can contend in the AFC. They believe it. I don't know if I mean, I think they're play. I think they can make the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I'm not there with Super Bowl and anything like that. Personally, I think the Bills are still the team to beat in the AFCs until proven otherwise. They've proven that. They've earned that. They are the top dog until proven otherwise. I know a lot of people, you know, we talked about Stephon Diggs and all that stuff. And, you know, I don't think the Bills are going to skip a beat because I think, you know, last year when they brought in Joe Brady, you know, I think it was more emphasis on running the football with James Cook and, you know, using Josh Allen's legs and, you know, getting the ball to the other playmakers too. And I love their tight ends with Knox and Kincaid, who I was definitely a huge fan of, you know, coming out of Utah as well. So for me, I think Buffalo is still – I would pick Buffalo to win the division. Now, after that, you know, Miami – what did you want to say, John?
Oh, I'm just saying you've got the Jets going to the playoffs. The Bills winning the division, so they go to the playoffs. So what's your order there? I mean, we're
I think the Jets could make the playoffs. I didn't say they will. I think it's gonna be up to, you know, between Miami and the Jets, really. The Dolphins have some questions too, especially on the defensive side of the football. They're gonna be able to score points. I mean, Miami's gonna be able to put up points so long as Tua is healthy, which is always a concern, especially with him losing, you know, the weight that he's done in the offseason. I'm more concerned about their defense and kind of what that looks like. You know, you change defensive coordinators and, you know,
Their defensive line's in trouble.
It's the exact opposite of the Jets, right?
Yeah.
Jets, great defense. Miami, not so much. Miami, deep at receiver, you know, scored a hell of a lot of points last year. Yeah. Jets, a little soft in the receiver spot, a little concerned of the line up front. Man, it's so I guess what I'm kind of driving at here, Antoine, is are you going to pick it or are you – or are you just going to sit back and say they're going to fight it out for a second?
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Am I going to pick the Jets to win the division? No, I'm not picking the Jets.
No, no, no. I'm saying you picking the Jets over Miami. Where do you sit?
If I'm a betting man, I probably would pick Miami over the Jets at the moment.
Okay.
It's interesting to talk to Dolphins fans on social media, and I know you do as well, Antoine.
Like, I have a lot of Dolphin fans still follow me. Yes.
You lose Christian Wilkins, which is a huge loss. You're not just easily replacing Christian Wilkins. That's the same conversation. Like, you're not easily replacing Stephon Diggs. You're just not. Christian Wilkins is a different machine. He's a chase down the play from behind kind of guy, which is rare for a defensive tackle. He's a huge, like, you just can't. But even their edge guys, like Jalen Phillips, who I love, is not coming back at full strength week one. I mean, he has a ruptured Achilles tendon, and it was a violent rupture. Like, they've got a problem on that defensive line.
Chubb as well. Chubb has suffered a season.
Right, and Chubb, as well. That's right.
So that's why they went out and drafted Chop Robinson from Penn State. Because they needed – they don't know if those guys are going to be ready. They're probably not going to be 100%, as you alluded to. So, yeah, you want to – and I think it's good that you can never have too many pass rushes.
No, you can't.
Anyway, so, I think their plan is a defensive tackle. They have Zach Sealer, who had a really good year there. They expect more out of him. And then – but now it puts a lot of emphasis on him, because I think Christian Wilkins took a lot off his plate. Because Christian is a energy guy, just energy. That's why I think him and Max Crosby are going to be – insane with the Raiders, because they're both like high motor type guys that you got to be in your face, and they're nasty. They're nasty type guys
for sure. Talking with Antoine Staley, Jets beat reporter from New York Daily News. So what is the temperature around like the seat that's underneath Robert Saleh? Clearly they're a little bit in it to win it this year, right? They've got some rental players out there that they're having trouble with, but obviously, you know, Aaron has said, you said it, that, you know, if we don't win this year, I'm not going to be here. A lot of other guys aren't going to be here. What's that? Is it pretty hot, that seat he's sitting on?
Is anything hotter than hell? Like, so. joking aside, though. Yeah, it's hot. I mean, you had three consecutive losing seasons. So, and then you're playing in the biggest media market in the country. Yeah, it's pretty warm. And the Jets hadn't made the playoffs since 2010. So, and your owner at NFL Honors, he blasted Zach Wilson. He blasted, you know, Joe Douglas and Robert Saleh. So he's not happy. They raised ticket prices. Obviously, the fans aren't happy about that. So they expect results. So they have to win. Like, if they do not win this year, they do not make the playoffs, all bets are off, which means, not only, you know, you get a new coach, you might get a new general manager. And then in turn, you're probably going to get a new quarterback, because I imagine Aaron's probably going to retire. He's not going to want to play for somebody, you know, somebody else, because it's going to be completely new regime. So,
well, the only other green team is the Eagles, and they've got a quarterback. So
my guess is, they have to make the playoffs. Like, they got a mulligan last year because.
Yeah. Well, if Aaron retires, can we also get that hard hat JETS Jets guy to retire?
Fireman Ed.
Right behind the damn visitors bench for 10 years.
Hey, Fireman Ed retired. And then he came back.
Oh, for the love of God.
He retired. Apparently, the fans wanted him back. So
What one or two more questions for you, but before we get to like the last one, Antoine, tell everybody where they can find you, where they can find your content, your work, where they can find you on Twitter. How can people seek you out?
It's just my name, Antoine Staley, just how it spells, at Twitter, all social media platforms, and find my work at the New York Daily News, nydailynews.com.
Gotcha. Very good. It is awesome having you on the show. Last question, unless there's a follow-up, which very could happen from John.
Hey, yep.
So if this season obviously doesn't go the way that the Jets expect and hope and the owner wants it to, the Jets are going to be in somewhat of a rebuild or reset mode.
Yeah.
Putting you on the spot a little bit, which pieces do you see potentially stay and they begin to build around versus these like gone? Does that make sense? Like what is the core of this team? Garrett Wilson, obviously, Breece Hall, obviously, Quinnen Williams, like, but where, how big is the rebuild, I guess is the question.
And basically you're forming your core around the 2022 class. So basically that's Sauce Gardner, that's Breece Hall. I mean, it's Breece Hall, that's Garrett Wilson, that's Jermaine. Right. If you can keep those guys, they'll be able to extend those guys' contracts after the 2024 season. It'll be interesting. I think Sauce is going to, you know, stay there. I can see him being a Jet for a real long time. Garrett is probably the one that I'm worried about the most because he's been frustrated with winning. He called last year the worst year of his life. And it might have been, you know, exaggeration, whatever you want to call it, but he's a guy that's used to winning. He played high school football in Texas. Like, they won championships. He went to Ohio State. Ohio State's used to winning. He goes to the Jets, you know. They start out, you know, his rookie year, they were 7-4, had an opportunity to make the playoffs. They end up losing out, finishing 7-10 last year, you know, had all, you know, high expectations with Aaron. Of course, he gets hurt. They finish 7-10 again. So I definitely think that young core. And then you got Quentin, who's still pretty young, too, as well. I think Quincy Williams is a guy they probably were build around too as well. CJ Mosley is a guy that's getting older, so you definitely got to replace him. It might be his last year with the Jets too. He actually took a pay cut to stay with the Jets, although I think he's still playing at a relatively high level. But I think a lot of that core is going to be all around the 2022 class.
I can respect Garrett Wilson. His comments about last season, you've got to believe that he was mourning the future that he thought he was going to have, that he lost, right? I mean, he had, I'm sure, crazy expectations. My God, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw me the football for an entire football season. This is going to be unbelievable. And then it just, in one series, first game of the season, exactly. It's over.
I give him credit too, because he's played in some bad quarterback situations, like with Zach and everything, but he's still putting up big numbers. And that's what you're supposed to do as a professional. Yep. Like, you know, it's not going to be always perfect. It's always going to be rainbows and sunshine, but he went out there and did his job. And now he, you know, feels like it's time to, you know, reap the benefits of having a, you know, future Hall of Fame quarterback in Aaron.
Super good. Anything anything else for Antoine there, John?
I'm frozen, baby.
You are frozen.
At least you can hear me. I don't know what's going on.
We can't hear you. We can't hear you.
Could you have at least smiled before you got frozen?
Right? No, yeah. I honestly, that's great stuff, Antoine. I really appreciate your insight. I agree. Robert Saleh, man, he's on the hot seat. But, you know, if they can pull out a playoff run, get a wild card bid, maybe he saves himself. Who knows? I think what you talked about before, which is a much bigger play along with Saleh, is all the signings they have to come up with. And that could be something that just pushes him, you know, out the door. You know, with all that talent, where did we end up? And, you know, we had Zach Wilson, and now, you know, we need somebody else while we can still retain the talent.
And you're in scramble mode at that point, because now you're trying to keep, you know, trying to keep these guys happy, and, you know, it's coming at the end of their contracts, and then they want to test free agency. So, yeah, that's why this year is important. Like, not only for the Jets, I think it's important for the Dolphins too, because, I mean, they got to pay Tua, and they got to start paying people too. I mean, they gave Waddle that money. And then Tyreek Hill is on basically a contract. You know, he's under contract next year, but there's no way he's going to play under that. So, these two teams, they're under pressure for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah, for sure. Antoine, thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you giving us about 35 minutes of your time. So we're a little bit over. I think I told you 30 minutes, but very much.
It tends to happen.
Yeah, very much. Great conversation. Great insight into the Jets. It's going to be a dogfight. The only team that really concerns me in the AFC East is always the Jets, because there's something. Josh Allen just gets wildly impatient against that team and begins to force things and puts himself in a bad situation.
It's up the last Jets Bills game, which was
the last one, right?
And that was kind of crazy, especially after the game. That was really insane outside the tunnel.
Well, we didn't even talk. I didn't even think about talking about that. Like Dion has like doubled down on a lot of that comment. Like, just he's made more comments about. Yeah, we didn't.
I'm surprised they did not schedule that game earlier, because that's gonna be fun. That's gonna be a lot of fun.
You almost wonder if they're just gonna go out there as professionals and bro it up and be fine with each other. I don't know, but you just don't know. But
yeah, it's a lot of definitely dislike. I think more on the Bills side than they are the Jets side. But yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been tuned into On the Beat on the Overreaction of Buffalo Sports Network, powered by Believe. For me, for John, big thanks to Antoine Staley, Jets beat reporter from the New York Daily News. We appreciate you guys. Go Bills.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.